Well, turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, we're continuing, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, and it's a very encouraging letter. Paul's in prison in Rome. They send him a gift. He's writing the letter to thank them for the gift and to encourage them to live righteously and godly. He founded this church on his second missionary journey, and as I put this up here, he writes to thank the believers and to encourage them, to thank them for the gift and to encourage them to stand for Christ, even in the trials of life. And this morning, Paul's going to talk about his life, and that we can look at it and make some applications. What's really important in our life? And I'm going to kind of break it down this way. We're going to look at, this morning, we're just going to go through verse 27, and we're just going to barely touch on verse 27. So primarily, it's going to be about Paul's life to live as Christ. And then we're going to talk about believers' lives. Paul charged for believers to live in a manner worthy of the gospel. We'll talk about what that means. And so the idea is, what are you living for? What can encourage us? What's the point? Why are we on this earth? And so what's really, really important to you? I had a professor at Dallas Seminary named Prof. Hendricks. He used to say it this way. He'd say, what hits your buttons? What makes you get excited? Years ago when I coached track, I had a friend that was a coach with me, and he was an incredible guy. He'd been a great athlete. And he poured his life into coaching track. If you'd have said to him, what is the most important thing in your life? He would say, it's track, it's recruiting, it's guys, it's this kind of thing. And that was what was important to him. He was a great guy, but he burned out. He burned out, and he actually lost his family. It was really a sad thing. So the question I might have for all of us is, what is your burning desire? Is it your job? Is it your school? Is it a hobby? What is your focus? What do you live for? As we look at Paul, Paul says to live is Christ. He says to live is to represent Jesus Christ. To live is to be like Jesus Christ. Paul says his life is Jesus Christ. And we want to think about our lives. Why are we here? What's it all about? We ended last time in verse 20 where he said that his earnest expectation, the goal would be that whether he lived or died, that Jesus Christ would be lifted up in his life. So where does Jesus Christ fit in your life? Are we seeking to live for him, to represent him? I believed in Jesus for eternal life when I was 19, but I didn't start growing as a believer and really making a difference for Christ until I was like 26 or 27. I made a decision. I said, Lord, I want my life to count for you. And that's a decision. And we've seen Paul as saying, my life is Christ. I live for Jesus Christ. My prayer is that, of course, all of us in this room, I hope and pray that every one of you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That means that eternal life, salvation, comes by faith alone and Christ alone. It's not works. It's not your goodness. You're saved and you're saved forever. The next thing, though, is that we would grow, that we would know him, that we would know him not only as a Savior, but know him in a fellowship way, that we would grow and that our lives would count for him. And that's what Paul's going to talk about this morning. Sometimes when you go through the letters, I mean, they get pretty tough because Paul tells some things. And this is the thing, is the prayer is that for all of us, that our lives will count for Christ. And we'll say, Lord, I want my life. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I want my life to count for you. I've been reading some things, you know, and talking about what we invest our lives in. And when we think about our culture and our world, I read a little quote. It said this, some men die by shrapnel and some go down in flames. But most men perish inch by inch playing little games. When you think about our life, what really is important? There used to be a question, what will you die for? There's also a great question, what will you live for? Eugene Peterson wrote a book called Run with the Horses, and he makes a statement. It's about our culture. It's pretty tough. Let me just read it. Here's what he says. He says, the puzzle is why so many people live so badly. There's little to admire and less to imitate in the people who are prominent in our culture. We have celebrities but not saints. We have famous entertainers who amuse a bored nation. Pathetic spectators. People aimlessly and bored amuse themselves with trivia and trash. And he said, that's our culture. So what are you investing your life in? What counts? What's the most important thing? The challenge that Paul says that his life is for Christ. And then he challenges the believers down in verse 27 to live your life as one who belongs to Jesus Christ. So this morning, we're going to stop and think about it. So let's think about the letter for a second. Paul writes to thank the Philippians for their gifts they sent to him while he's in prison. Then he encourages the Philippians to live a joyous life. We said a number of times the word joy and rejoice is written in there. And then we saw in verses 9, 10, and 11, Paul's prayer for these believers is an incredible prayer that they would grow and bring glory. He actually says, I pray that you will grow in your love for one another, that you'll choose the best things, that you'll live holy lives as you wait for Christ, and that God would be glorified in their lives. That was his prayer for them. I mean, that's pretty powerful. Now, he's trying to encourage them, and even though he's in prison, he seeks to encourage them, and he says this, and we saw this last time, that Paul said, hey, you may think I'm in prison, and that's really bad, but actually, there's been greater progress of the gospel. He says, since I'm in prison, and I'm chained to a Roman soldier, I get to witness to the Roman soldier. He said, the message of Christ is spread throughout the Praetorium Guard. That were the Roman soldiers. And he said, on top of that, because I'm in prison, other believers are more bold now to proclaim the message. So he says, if you think, because I got put in prison, it stops the message, the answer is no. It's just keeping on going. We ended last time with Paul's goal. And that is this, that he hopes that Christ would be magnified by his life or by his death. He said, it doesn't matter to me. He said, the only thing I want, I don't want to be put to shame. I don't want anything with boldness. I want Christ to be exalted whether I live or whether I die. Wow. That would be the goal of our lives. Wouldn't we all want to say, listen, it doesn't matter where we are, God, what God has for us, where we're going to live. All we care about is that whether we live or die, we want our lives to bring glory to Jesus Christ. That's the key. And so as we break down this passage this morning, I want you to see it. And we'll go fairly quickly through it. We see, first of all, in verses 1 through 26, Paul's life, how he lives for Christ, whether he's living or dying. And we're going to spend almost all of the time there. At the end, we'll talk about this one verse, verse 27. Of course, that goes on to 30, and we'll see that next week. But Paul tells them to live worthy as children, as a child of God. So we're going to see that, see how that fits together. So let's focus on that. Let's think about Paul for a second. He called himself an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, in this letter, he didn't. If you remember when we started the letter, we said this, that when Paul wants to show authority, when Paul wants to tell them things that they really need to know, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But if you remember when we started the book of the Philippians, Paul doesn't say that at all because they know him and he knows them and they've been sending him stuff and he's been talking to them. He loves them. He started off by saying, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus. So as he starts this, Paul is saying, these are my friends. These are people that I know. When he's all through, he's going to have gone on 3 missionary journeys, written 13 letters in the New Testament. He had a great love for God. He had a love for people. And so as we think about that, what Paul's going to say here is a little bit unusual, we might think. What is he saying? You know what he's going to say? He said, I'd rather die than live. And you'd say, what? What? He says, I'd rather die than live. Remember his goal? That whether he lived or died, that Jesus Christ would be glorified. And so look what he goes on to say. Look at verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now what he's actually saying is to live is Christ and to die is gain. The living is Christ, but dying is even better. We might say, well, what do you mean dying is even better? Well, think about it. So he says to live is Christ, to die is gain. Let's talk about to living. What does he mean to live is Christ? Have you ever looked at that verse and you said, what does it mean for to me to live is Christ? Well, we can look at several things. First of all, the idea to live is Christ could mean to live is to represent Jesus Christ. And that's true. He represented Jesus Christ. In Galatians 1:1, he said, I'm an apostle of Christ. I've been sent out with authority by Christ. He said that he is a representative of Christ. So when he says to live is Christ, he could just be saying, this is it. I'm representing Jesus Christ. And he was an ambassador for Christ. But there's a second thing. It could be the idea to live as Christ is to live as to be like Christ. Romans 8:29, Paul had written that the goal is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And Paul would say that when I look at Jesus Christ and I look at my life, my goal is to be like him, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, to be like him. And then there's possibly a third thing. To live as Christ could mean that this is the opportunity to know him. And you say, well, I thought we know him. Well, remember we said there are two ways to know Christ. One is to know him as Savior, and that's when you believe in him for eternal life. You know him as Savior, have a relationship with him. That there's also an aspect of knowing him in the sense of fellowship. and growing in knowledge and the grace and knowledge of Christ. As 1 Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Paul says that for me, living is getting to know Jesus Christ. And he says this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. He says, I count all things as loss as the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. And then he says later on that I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. He's not talking about knowing him as Savior. He's already believed in him as Savior. He wants to know him in a personal way. So you could say that these three things, that to live as Christ means I represent Christ. To live as Christ means I be like Christ. To live as Christ means I know him. And we can make application. We can also say for us to live is to represent Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says we're ambassadors for Christ as though God were beseeching through us. We get to represent Jesus Christ. We also get to live like Christ. We're going to see in Philippians 1:27, he says, walk worthy of the gospel. Live out who you are to be like him. And then the third thing is we can know him. Just as Paul says, I want to know him and the fellowship of his, of his life and how he fits and what he does. And so for each of us in this room, you could say, for me to live is Christ. And that means you represent him, you want to be like him, and you want to know him. So here's a question, and that is, as Paul might say, for Paul to live is Christ. How about for you? And how about for me? Is us living, is it representing Christ, being like Christ, knowing him? That's what he said. We want that to be true for all of us. We want our lives to count for Christ. I guarantee you, if I asked you, stand up. I'm not telling you this. If I said, stand up, if you want your life to count for Christ, every one of us in this room would stand up. The question is our life counting for Christ? Do you know him? Are you representing him? Are you being like him? That's what Paul says, to live is Christ. I want you to see something. Look at this. I found this little saying. It says, I like it a lot. It says, when you were born, you cried and the world rejoiced. Live your life in such a manner that when you die, the world cries and you rejoice. Live in such a way that Jesus Christ is lifted up and glorified in your life so that you could actually say, for me to live is Christ. I represent him. I want to be like him. I want to know him. But then he goes on and says something else. He says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Dying's better than living? Well, how is that? Now, let me just say something. We talked about this in Grow Group, and Joel Tupper, Dr. Tupper, brought up a great point. He says, you know, we say for us, Paul says as a believer, for living is good, dying is better. For an unbeliever, dying's not better. You know, this is all they got here. And if they die, they'll be separated from God forever in the lake of fire. So for an unbeliever, living's better than dying. For a believer, dying's better than living. Well, what do you mean? What do we mean by that? Well, look, think about this. First of all, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. If you were to die right now as a believer, the moment you die, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. In fact, the word for present there is the idea of almost face to face. It's the idea that you're with the Lord. I think this, that when you die, I think the first thing you see is Jesus Christ. So to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. So that's good. Paul says, you know, I'm living for Christ, but dying's going to be better. Why? Well, because I'll be with Christ. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Second, the cares, the pains, the heartaches, the problems of this world are gone. Listen, every one of you in this room have heartaches and pain and troubles. And it may be physical, it may be spiritual, it may be emotional. That you've got things that are not right, so to speak, and it hurts to be in a fallen world. And the moment you die and with Jesus, there is no cares, pains, heartaches, or problems. They're gone. The third thing is there's no more sin. Philippians 3 talks about when Jesus comes, he's going to get us, he's going to change this body, he's going to change us, and we'll be with Jesus Christ. And there'll be no more sin, because sin is in the flesh aspect, and God's going to give us a new body. We hate sin, and at the same time, we love sin. And Paul says, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. I'm a wretched man. And that's what we all do. And we say, I wish that there was no more sin. I wish there was no more flesh. I wish there was no more pulls to do wrong. When you die and you're with Jesus, that pull won't be there anymore. It'll be gone. And then there'll be rewards. You'll stand before your Savior, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded for the things we've done in this body, whether good or worthless. We'll be rewarded. And one day you'll hear Jesus, Lord willing, you'll hear him say, well done. You did great. You did great. That's what we want to hear him say. And so Paul says, listen, for living, man, if I live, I get to represent Christ. I get to be like Christ. I get to know Christ. But if I die, wow. Well, I'll be with the Lord, and I won't sin anymore, and I won't have any troubles or problems, and the Lord will say, well done. Wow. So Paul says it. That's why to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now remember, as Joel said, Joel Tupper, not Joel in the Bible, but Joel Tupper reminded today, you know, for an unbeliever, dying's not great, because if you die without Jesus Christ, you'll be separated from him forever. So for us, all of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, all of us who have believed in Christ for eternal life, we may live for Christ now, and that's great. But when we die, it'll actually even be better. You know, when we lose a loved one, what do people say a lot of times? Well, they're in a better place. That's what some people say. I performed a lot of funerals in my day. I performed a lot. And it's always sad. And it's sad for those who are left behind, not the one who's gone. They're already with Jesus, and they're in great shape, so to speak. The sadness is those left behind. Paul says, for to me, to live is Christ. Wow. And to die is gain. It's better. And then he talks about his wife. And look what he says. He said, you know, if I'm keeping on living in the flesh, he goes on and says, but if I'm to live on in the flesh, in other words, if I'm still keeping living here in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I don't know which to choose. And we'll talk about it. He says, listen, if I keep living, I'll get to do things. If I keep living, I'll get to do things. Let me go back here. If I keep living, it'll be fruitful labor. Well, what is fruitful labor? Well, what has he done? Hell, he has shared the gospel. He's taught others. He's encouraged fellow believers. He's served one another. So what has he done? What is the fruitful labor? He's shared these things. He says, if I get to live and if I keep living, I'll get to keep doing all these things. And part of it's going to be for the Philippians. So he says, I'll get to do this. And so we could raise a question. It's while we're living now, are we doing this? Are we sharing the gospel? Are we teaching others? Are we encouraging fellow believers? Are we serving one another? That's what he says. And he says, listen, if I'm to keep living, he's going to raise the question in a minute, but he says, if I keep living, it will mean fruitful labor for me. I'll get to do stuff. I'll get to keep serving God. And just remember this, the only time you're going to have to serve him on this earth is now in this life. Now, you're going to have a new body, it'll be a kingdom and all that, and you'll get to serve there. But your service right now is now, and this is it. And Paul says, if I keep living on, I'll get to serve. And then he says something. He said, but I don't know which one to choose. What do you mean, which one to choose? Well, to live or die. I'm hard-pressed from both directions. Having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, that's very much better. And yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. He says, I'm hard-pressed about this thing because I'm pressed back and forth. It means I'm pressed from both sides, either being with Christ or helping others. He says, being Christ, and I put it up here like this, much more better, because that's actually what it says in the Greek. My English Bible says it's better. It's very much better, but in the Greek it actually says it's much more better. And so he's saying, it's just a lot better to be with Christ, to depart, and yet, though, to remain in the flesh, to be a person here is better for you. He actually says, it's better for the Philippians if I stay. In fact, he says, it's more necessary for you. In fact, look what he says in verse 24, yet to remain on the flesh is more necessary for you. You realize that your opportunity to help somebody else grow is right now at this time with your gifts, your talents, and your abilities. That's what it's all about. To be with our Savior is the best, but to remain here, we get to serve, and we serve each other. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says there's one body with many members. There's a whole bunch of us. There's one big body, but we've got all kinds of different members, and we get to serve. So right now, Paul says, if you're alive, now, it's better to be dead as a believer to get to be with Jesus and everything. But if you're alive, this is the time that you get to serve other people. This is the time you use your gifts, talents, and abilities to touch lives for Jesus Christ. And so Paul would say this. Dying is better for Paul to be with the Lord, but living is better for the Philippians to be with them. And then he makes a statement in verse 24, and look what he says. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Now, whether while he's writing this, the Holy Spirit says, no, you're going to keep living. But what he says is, you know, I think I'm pretty much convinced I'm going to keep living. I'm not going to die. Now, where was Paul? He was in prison in Rome. He was about to stand before the Caesar. And the Caesar could go, he could kill Paul or not kill Paul. But we know from history that when Paul stood before the Caesar, Caesar found him not guilty. Paul left. He wrote 1 Timothy. He wrote Titus. He wrote 2 Timothy. He got put into prison when he writes 2 Timothy. And in that letter, he says, I know I'm going to die. I will not come out of this. This letter, he says, I'm pretty sure I'm coming out. I'm convinced of this. And he says, convinced of this, I know I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and faith in the gospel. So he says, I'm convinced of this. Paul will continue living for the Philippians' growth. He's going to help them. He's going to help them. Can you imagine being in a local church in which Paul the apostle would come through? Can you imagine being led and believing and understanding about Jesus and trusting him, and it was Paul the apostle that led you to Christ? Think about Paul saying, you know, I'm struggling because to be with Christ is better than, I mean, to die and be with Christ is better than to live and to be here. But what I've really thought about it, I'm going to probably be here and so I can help you. That's what he's saying to them. It's really powerful. When they get this letter, they probably go, "Woo! We hope he comes. We hope he comes soon." He says, I want to continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith. He wants to help them grow. 2 Peter 3:18, grow, you know, the idea of growing in the grace of knowledge. 2 Timothy 2:2, do you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to take what you've been taught and entrust these to other people, faithful people, and they'll be able to teach others as well. That's how it works. That's how it works. You're supposed to take what you've been taught and teach other people who'll be able to teach other people. That's what Paul is saying. He says, I'm going to come, I'll come back, and I'll be there to help you. But the whole goal, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:2, is to take what you've been taught and pass it on. So are you taking what you know and passing it on to somebody else so they can pass it on to somebody else? So Paul says, and this last verse is a little bit, this next to last verse is a little bit hard. He says, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Now, what he's really saying is, it's going to be great joy because you're going to have joy when I come, because you're going to realize that God is using Paul in their lives. So Paul is saying that you're going to have great confidence in me because I'm getting sent by God, and through my coming to you again, it'll be a great time that God can glorify all of things. And he's basically saying the Philippians are going to glorify God because Paul's going to come back sometime and be used. Very powerful. Would people say about us, we're so glad you're here that you can help us grow? That's what we're supposed to do. Well, Paul says it's better to die for Paul, but it's better to live for the Philippians. And so quickly, I want us to see this last verse. And he says this, only conduct yourselves. He's writing to the Philippians. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He goes on to say, and we'll talk more about this next week, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, whether I get to come or not, I will hear you're standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So he says in verse 27, I'm going to go past this. In the Philippians' lives, he says, I want you to live in such a way that it glorifies God, that you're worthy of the gospel, worthy of one who believes in Jesus Christ, that our citizenship is in heaven, we belong to him. And so he charges them. And we're going to see a lot more of that next time when we put it together. He says, believers are to live like those who belong to Christ. Ephesians 4:1 says, walk worthy of our calling. We're children of God. Colossians 1:10 says, so that you may walk, live in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. So Paul says to the Philippians, listen, I don't know whether I'm going to get to come or not. So whether I come or whether I'm absent, what I want to hear, and here's the key, he says this, that you are standing firm in one spirit, this is unity, with one mind, unity, striving together, unity for the faith of the gospel. His point, his purpose, is that you live in such a way in unity that brings glory to Jesus Christ, living as children of God. So pretty powerful. So think about this. Paul says, for me to live, that's Christ, because I get to represent him, I get to be like him, and I get to know him. But to die is even better, because I get to be with the Lord and there'd be no more sin and I'd have a new body and all the trials and problems are gone and I get rewarded. He said, so that's better. But there's a struggle going on, because I know if I stay here, it's better for you. So I'm caught in between. To go to be with Jesus, which is better, or to be with you, which is better for you. So I'm convinced that I'm going to stay. And I will come help you. And when I come help you, everybody's going to be happy. It's going to be joyous. However, you need to live in such a way that the gospel of Christ is proclaimed with one mind, one spirit, one unity in everything that you do. With that in mind, let's look at the applications. He said, let's live worthy of the gospel. We belong to Jesus Christ. We're children of heaven. We're children of God. We need to live in such a way. And in the flow of this passage, it's unity. And so he says, first of all, for us to live is Christ. Think about it. How? We represent Christ, clear gospel. We get to be like Christ, growing in the grace and knowledge. And we get to know Christ. So for us to live now is representing him, being like him, and getting to know him. Second, understand that to die is gain. That's for a believer, not for an unbeliever. For a believer. Why? Well, because there's no more suffering, there's no more sin, and there'll be rewards. So that's what we want to do. We want to live now for Jesus Christ. And there's a second app that I just wanted to throw it in there. Let's serve Christ now while we live. This is the time. First of all, this is God's plan for us, that while you're left on this earth, you're to use the gifts, talents, and abilities that you have to touch other lives for Christ. The second thing, it is necessary for fellow believers. We have to have each other. Nobody has all the gifts. Everybody has different gifts. We come together in unity, using our gifts, helping each other grow, taking what we know and passing it on to other people so they can pass it on to other people. And that's what he says. So let's serve God now. That's his plan for us. And it's necessary for all of us. And that's why he tells them, he said, I know it's necessary for me, for you, that when I come back, so I'm convinced I'm coming back.